Shalom, 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 man. It's the Najee Nation Helper, Goshen Guard Security Forces. We in Tennessee now, so if you need any security services in the states of Mississippi, Tennessee, and or Georgia, please give us a call. All right? Give us a call. If you need any security service, know somebody needs security service, give us a call. I got on here today, man, because I just wanted to talk real fast about three different situations that all kind of tie into the current changing of the world order, let's put it that way. The current development towards World War III. The current development towards World War III in the world. So, if you pay attention to the Russian situation, right? The Russian situation is exactly the type of situations that I always call World War III. All right, so it always breaks down as one big country does something, it changes up the way that the rest of the world feel like they can operate. Little countries start to do the same thing. Eventually, everybody got to pick a side, and everything comes tumbling down. This nation does this. This nation does this. Now, this nation gets involved, and this nation gets involved. Prime example, World War One. All right, that started with two very small countries. Hold on one second. Let me pull it up. Make sure I get their names right. But we all know it ended with Germany. Right? It ended with one of the biggest nations in the world at the time jumping into the war. But it all started with some very small nations. All right? So, it World War One was began by a decline of the Ottoman Empire. So, the Ottoman Empire at the time was the major military figure, in that Middle Eastern European kind of range right there. Right, if you look at the old Ottoman Empire stretched into Europe through Turkey and stretched down into the Middle East. All right, but it really broke out All right, here we go. Artichoke Franz Ferdinand of Austria, all right, end up getting killed by someone from another small country. And so the big backers of those small countries end up coming in defense of the small countries, and they end up getting bigger countries involved in the war, right? So today you see Vladimir Putin in Russia. Vladimir Putin says the same thing Vladimir Putin says the same thing that Adolf Hitler said in World War II. All right, if you go back and look at Adolf Hitler's early speeches during World War II, what did he say? Why did he say his reason? What did he say his reason was for going into? Let me do this before I get disrupted. All right. What did he say his reason was for going into different countries at the beginning of World War II? His reasoning was there were German citizens in these countries that were being mistreated because they were German, and I got to go in and save the German people in these nations. So that was Hitler's first pretext for going into these countries. People think Hitler's first pretext for going into countries was, okay, I'm going to go in just to get rid of the Jews. Nah, that was after the fact, right? That was after the fact. That was after he started his war, and the Jews used their media presence, the so-called Jews. Yo, what's up, bro? How you been? But yeah, that was after the so-called Jews, fake Jews, Khazars, used their media presence to denounce Hitler's war that was going on in the rest of the world. That's when he began to go against the Jews. But his first preference was saying, hey man, it's German people, German-speaking people in these countries that are being mistreated because they're Germans. All right. What was Vladimir Putin's reason for not just going in? You got to look back at Vladimir Putin to understand this war. And that's why I didn't understand the war at the beginning, but I do understand the route he's taking now. All right. You go back, you look first, all right, Russia invaded Georgia, the country of Georgia, not the state of Georgia, but Russia invaded Georgia, and I think it was 2001. Let me look up the date. Russia invaded a country called Georgia in 2008 for the same reason, right? It's Russian citizens in that country called Georgia that are being mistreated because they're pro-Russian, all right? Russia took the part of Georgia they needed to take it, and they pulled out, said, okay, we good. They did the same thing with a region called Chechnya, all right, that is now a part of Russia. They went in and took majority of that because it was Russian people there that were being mistreated by our current government. They did the same thing in 2014 in Crimea. So in 2014 in Crimea, they went into Crimea and said, listen, the reason we're doing this, the reason we're going into Crimea is because there are Russian citizens, or Russian nationals, I would say, in Crimea that are being mistreated by Ukraine because they're Russian. That was the exact same reason that Vladimir Putin used to go into the Donbass and Luhansk regions of Ukraine. So those eastern regions of Ukraine, where Vladimir Putin is fighting right now, he used the exact same pretext. Hey, it's Russian citizens here that are being mistreated because they're pro-Russian. Actually, if you look at the peace treaty that was signed by Russia and Ukraine in 2014 after the war in Crimea was over, one of the things Vladimir Putin said was, because he's a smart guy, right? He's a former KGB guy. He's a pretty intelligent guy as far as understanding how to usurp countries. So the KGB was pretty much the Soviet Union's version of the CIA. So we know what the CIA does. You know, the Nostra Contras. They know how to misinterpret. I mean, know how to misinform and get what they need to get done. So one of the nuances that was in the 2014 ceasefire between Ukraine and Russia after the Crimean War was, okay, we want you to include these pro-Russian forces in your government. So we want you, because Ukraine had said since the new guy took over, since the non-pro-Russian president had taken over, they said that these very pro-Russian politicians were banned from politics for the account of treason, right? So they said these people are more loyal to Russia than they are to Ukraine. So since they're more loyal to Russia than they are to Ukraine, all right, we're going to say they can no longer participate in Ukrainian government. Vladimir Putin said, no, that's not fair. You got to let them participate, with the purpose being, if I can get some people in their government, I can win a war without firing a bullet. Right, so if I can just, because pre-2014, the reason why Russia never had a problem with Ukraine, because Ukraine was like what Belarus is to Russia now. So Russia and Belarus are technically confederated. So I always get off on a tangent, but I got to explain it. If you go back to the United States, why are U.S. states called states? Every other state in the world is called a state, like countries. So Canada is considered a state. France is considered a state. The United Kingdom is considered a state. The reason that the U.S. states, ours, like, you know, South Carolina, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota. The reason they're called states is because at first we had this thing called the Articles of Confederation when the U.S. first got started. Now, the Articles of Confederation pretty much just made a loose government that pretty much said, hey, all the states have come to each other's defense and we'll raise money for certain things. All right, and there'll be free travel between the different countries as they were at the time, right, the different colonies. That was the Articles of Confederation. Russia and Belarus have a similar agreement, right? They'll come to each other's aid. All right, they have free travel between the two countries. Pretty much, they go lockstep on everything that they do. That's how Russia and Belarus get along. Russia, Belarus, and Ukraine were all kind of in that same block for a long time until 2014, when Ukraine, they called it the Ukrainian Revolution. Ukraine got a new president that was pro-Western, and so he started moving away from Russia. That's when Vladimir Putin had to go into Crimea because he said there were Russian citizens in Crimea that were being mistreated. Same thing he said in Donbass and Luhansk. All right. But he wanted them involved in their government because he said, if I can get them in their government, I can go back to the way it was without ever firing a bullet, without ever going to war. I can control Ukraine again. All right, so that was his original plan. When Ukraine refused, he still let it go for a while. All right, and if you believe the reasons that they gave for going into Ukraine, which I kind of do, the reason they decided to go in when they did is because Ukraine was getting even closer ties with the West. So Ukraine was beginning to think about joining NATO. Ukraine was beginning to think about joining the European Union. The European Union is a bit less of a problem. The reason that Russia cannot let Ukraine join NATO is because of Turkey. Let me explain that. So Turkey is a NATO member. All right, they're the closest NATO member to Russia that's a serious power, right? It's some Baltic Nordic nations that are also NATO. You got your Finlands, your Swedens, those nations up the way that are NATO, but they're your Latvias, but they're very weak nations. All right, Turkey is a very powerful nation that's also NATO, that's very close to Russia. The reason why Russia doesn't like this is because inside of Turkey, there are nuclear weapons that are controlled by the U.S. So there are nuclear weapons in Turkey that are completely controlled remotely and on the ground by U.S. forces that can be launched at any time without the approval of Turkey. So there are already nuclear weapons too close to Moscow for Vladimir Putin's comfort. All right. Now, if Ukraine joins NATO, those Donbass and Luhansk regions, those very eastern regions of Ukraine that are very, very, very close to the Russian border, what do you think NATO is going to do? Before a deterrent, they're going to put nuclear weapons directly on the border of Russia that's able to touch Moscow within 15, 10 minutes. Most nuclear weapons have to go like this. They go all the way up and then come back down. Right, but when you can put them close enough, they can fly in a straight line. It's very dangerous because it makes them very fast getting to their point. They can hit their point very fast, and that's very dangerous for Russia. Russia couldn't allow Ukraine to do it. They also just couldn't allow Ukraine to do what Ukraine's beginning to do now. Get a lot of Western weaponry because Ukraine knows Russia knows their weaponry is relatively old. Right, it's relatively old weaponry. They understand this. So they say, listen, we got to keep them from getting these modern Western weapons. because we're going to have a bigger problem. On top of that, if we let them join NATO, we got to understand that if we attack them then, we got to fight the entirety of NATO. And Vladimir Putin already said straight up, I know I can't beat NATO, but I got these nukes that can. So those are the reasons that they went into Ukraine at the time that they did. My opinion, if you go back and watch my video the night before, and I'll be honest, the night of, they invaded Ukraine later on that night. But the night of, I even said, yeah, he's probably going to invade within the next couple of days, but he's only going to take that eastern Ukrainian area, right? He's going to attack Donbass and Luhansk, and he's going to take that eastern Ukrainian area. He's going to take that like he normally does. He take what he need, and he back off. He shocked me when he went into Kiev, but I think that was some misinformation from his government saying that, hey, we have a very pro-Russian sentiment in the entirety of Ukraine, and they didn't. They only have a pro-Russian sentiment in that eastern portion of Ukraine. But that eastern portion of Ukraine has a pretty strong Russian sentiment. Right now, today, they're actually holding, I got to put it right here, referendums on joining Russia underway in occupied Ukraine. So in the regions that Vladimir Putin has taken in Ukraine, they're actually holding referendums to talk about joining Russia, possibly. So this could be a way of Vladimir Putin possibly winding down the war, saying, hey, I'm going to take these eastern parts of Ukraine. We're going to lock them in, and then I'm going to leave the rest of y'all alone for now. All right, and it may have been enough of the deterrent. It's either going to go great for him or go completely wrong for him, right? And I think it's going to go completely wrong because we know the end got to come. All right, it's going to go completely wrong eventually. It could work because Ukraine could say, we don't really want to get another war with Russia. We'll be kind of neutral. Right, we'll be neutral between the West and the East. Or they could say, we don't want this to happen again, so we're going to go stronger towards the West. Let me tell y'all a cool little side note right here, and it's very important for what I just said. If we all know about the Khazars, right? You researched the Khazars. They were a kingdom of people. We know what those people are today. They were a kingdom of people who operated during the kind of the medieval times. All right, they had Christians on one side and Muslims on the other. All right, so the Christians, and they were pagan. They were still pagan worshipers. So they worship pagan gods. They worship pagan gods, a bunch of different gods and goddesses, this and that. The Christians and the Muslims said, hey, you have to pick a monotheistic religion, right? They pretty much kind of told them you got to be Christian or Muslim. Well, they were traders by profession. So they didn't want to be Christians or Muslims because if they were Muslims, they can't trade with the Christians. If they're Christians, they can't trade with the Muslims, right? So they said, listen, we'll be Jews. We'll adopt the Jewish religion. And that's what they did. All right, Khazaria is modern day Ukraine. So they're following the same path as their ancestors that are now located in our land. All right, Khazaria is modern day Ukraine. So they may decide to go down the same path and just say, hey, we're going to try to be neutral, which they did for a long time. All right, so they may go down the same path and say, we're going to try to be neutral. But Russia is holding referendums on joining Russia and occupy Ukraine right now. So they're going to let that. And I don't know, right? Of course, these votes may be completely fake or whatever, but it's just showing you his purpose behind doing this. I asked myself, why didn't Vladimir Putin, because what he could have did the first day of the war if he wanted to. The first day of the war, Vladimir Putin could have ended the war. He has the one thing countries look for. The reason why the U.S. is the most dominant nation on the face of the earth is because we have more aircraft carriers than anybody on the face of the world, anybody in the world. All right. So what that aircraft carrier get, it ain't nukes, right? Because you can't use nukes in every war, but you can definitely use bombs in every war. The reason why the U.S. is so dominant is because we have these aircraft carriers. That allows us to have air superiority anywhere we fight. Air superiority means I have planes over you that can drop bombs, and my planes can fly higher and faster than your planes and drop more bombs than your planes. They're quicker than your planes, and my pilots are better than your pilots. All right. If you have air superiority, you can almost not lose a war. Seriously. If you have air superiority and you lose a war, your generals are completely incompetent. Air superiority means I can see your troops on the ground. I can bomb them. What are you going to do about that? Nothing. That's why the U.S. is so dominant. Russia has air superiority over Ukraine. So if this was a serious war of attrition, if this was Vladimir Putin just saying, I'm going to try to wipe Ukraine off the face of the earth, I'm going to try to wipe them off the map and just take their land or take their oil or whatever they say they're going to do, they could have easily shocked and armed the same way the U.S. shock and awes the Middle East. Those are equivalent militaries, right? The military of Iraq, when the U.S. went into Iraq and dominated Iraq, is the equivalent of the Ukrainian army pre all these Western weapons getting pushed into there. So if Vladimir Putin wanted to end the war very fast, he could have ended the war very fast. I think the reason he didn't do it is because he's trying to not just, he's a KGB guy, he's a member of the Soviet Union, he's trying to bring the Soviet Union back, but I think that's the way of the world. That's the way of the world that's coming. We're going to see it, Right, the Bible tells us what? Nation against nation, tribe against tribe. You're going to see these Soviet blocs. You're going to see these Asian countries. You're going to see them kind of come together as one nation, one country. All right? And that's, once again, you know me. You watch my Instagram. You know I ain't, you know, anybody that want to believe in God and listen to the Bible, enjoy the Bible, hey, man, listen, it's your right. All right? You can cleave to the people. But as far as these nations over here that are still Russian and Ukrainian and Japanese and Korean, They're gonna have to join together. They're gonna have to, because the way that the world is going, you're gonna have to be a superpower to be able to compete, or you're gonna have to be God's children. But smaller countries will no longer exist. That's what Russia is showing right now. You have to pick a side. All right. Whether you pick that side by actually joining the country, or whether you pick that side by just doing the country's bidding. That's why I always warn against, you know, our people, we love to just yell, flee to Africa, right? Get to Africa. No offense, because listen, Africa is a decent place to go sometimes, but you have to research the right country. All right, you have to go to the Tanzanias and the Botswanas and the Nambias, all right, of the world. You can't always just shoot to the Nigerias and the Ghanas and no disrespect. Well, some disrespect to those countries. Ghana has a deal with the U.S. to build one of the biggest Western military bases in the world in Ghana, because they know that's where most of us are gonna flee to. Nigeria, I gotta give them their respect. Because they did turn down a lot of money from the U.S. to legalize gay marriage, but they're going the way of the West. If you look at what they did during the coronavirus pandemic, if you think Joe Biden was rough, if you think the U.S. was rough making healthcare workers get the vaccine and making them get the vaccine, you know, to go in certain restaurants, Nigeria made you get the vaccine to get your money out of the bank. You want to talk about Mark of the Beast, all right? They really ran a precursor to the Mark of the Beast. You had to get the vaccine to get your money out of the bank in Nigeria. You had to get the vaccine to get your cell phone turned on. So you have to be careful where you're fleeing to, because these countries have to pick a side one way or another. All right? They have to. They don't have an option, because you're too small to have your own opinion. I hate to put it that way, but unless you're really willing, like the Madagascar president did, he stood on all 10. Didn't work out so well for him. What's the other nation that, I don't know if anybody remember, the other country that the U.S. sent him COVID tests, and he tested like a goat, a fucking pear, and a banana. Let me see. Or while I'm looking that up, the president of Haiti. The president of Haiti also turned down U.S. COVID vaccines, and you saw what happened to him. The U.S. sent some folks in and knocked them off. People asking about China. I'll say this about China, right? China is a world power. China is the one doing some of the ones doing the influencing now. Now, China influences in a different way. This is China's thing, and this is why China, if you actually compare Roman policy,
it's 10 o'clock.
China is closer to Roman policy than the U.S. is to Roman policy. All right? Because if you look at Rome, right? Rome way of doing things, that's why if you read in the time of Christ, we were still ruled by the Pharisees for the most part. Right, until Nero got mad and came down and dropped the hammer post-Christ. But during Christ's era, we were under the control of Rome, but the Pharisees were still in charge, because that's Rome's normal motto. Rome's normal motto is, hey man, do whatever you want. We don't care. Don't speak against Rome and pay us our taxes. You can do whatever you want. That's China's way of ruling the world right now. China says, pay us our taxes. All right. If we build this airport in your country, all right, you're going to pay us the fees that you owe us on this airport. You're going to pay our debt back, and we're going to come in and we're going to F you up. That's China's policy. Don't speak bad against China. All right, make sure you don't call Taiwan a country, and make sure you pay us what you owe us. They go into countries and they spend a lot of money, and that's how they peddle their influence. The U.S. is trying to peddle actual influence. The U.S. is trying to push their propaganda, their religion, all over the world. Because their liberalism is a religion. Right, it's a religion. They're pushing their religion all over the world to these different countries. China's pushing money all over the world to these different countries. They're controlling it simply by the dollar, by the checkbook. They cutting checks. All right, they cutting checks, and they're giving people somewhat military power to at least be able to defend themselves. That's China's play. I don't even think that's Russia's play, because Russia's play is even more. Understand what China and Russia really want, and they've said it in many interviews. You can Google it. Look up any interview you want to look up with Xi Jinping or Vladimir Putin. What they're saying is, Russia, we're going to control Eastern Europe and the top part of the Middle East. We're going to control that, period. China, we're going to control Asia. You're going to get out of here, and we're going to control Asia. All right? Iran, we're going to control the Middle East. That includes, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, that part of the Middle East. Saudi Arabia and maybe Qatar, Oman, we're going to control this Gulf states, these Gulf Arab states. All right, everybody's going to control the area of the world. In the U.S., and everybody, I hate to say this, but then everybody going to just take their piece of Africa until Africa stands up and find their strong power. All right, in the U.S., y'all control that Western Hemisphere, right? Y'all control Canada, Mexico, and South America. That's y'all area. That's what Russia and China want to happen. They want the Earth to kind of split up into three different powers. Why? Because that makes things fair, right? Right now, the U.S., or the U.S. used to, before they fell to what they did now, the U.S. could literally tell a country, hey, do this, and they do it. 9 times out of 10, the U.S. didn't have any enemies, except for countries that were already torn down because they knew the U.S. couldn't tear them down anymore. But now countries buck on the U.S. because the U.S. has shown weakness. Once you show a little weakness, you got to show a lot of weakness. All right? But that's where China is. That's where China is in the equation. China's just spending the money. China's spending the money. All right? But just to show another example, right? Another example of the world going to a kind of a singular country for a certain region. Japan, who was very pro-U.S., very pro-U.S. The U.S. still houses troops there post-World War II. They're saying two different things that let you know that the world no longer believes the U.S. is this big superpower, right? Japan, one, said we're going to, because after World War II, the world made Japan change their constitution to say they can only have a defense force. So right now, Japan's constitution says their military is capped at a certain size because it can only be defensive. All right, it cannot be an offensive military. It has to be a defensive military. All right, Japan's saying, one, we're changing our constitution. All right, we're going to grow our military size substantially. Two, we're okay with talking to North Korea. We're going to go talk to Kim Jong-un of North Korea, and we're going to see if we agree with us, if we agree on anything. All right, and the reason that they gave behind this was a true reason. Guess what that reason was? We don't believe that the U.S. is going to help Taiwan if China attacks. If the U.S. isn't going to help Taiwan, there is no way on God's green earth the U.S. is going to help us, so we have to be able to defend ourselves. Because don't forget what Japan did to China during World War II, and I guarantee you, Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party haven't forgot. During World War II, the Japanese were raping, robbing, murdering, and pillaging the Chinese. They were making them grow rice, taking all of the rice, and starving the people. They would grow the rice, take the rice from them, take it back to Japan, and let the people starve while raping them and killing them. So they don't believe China forgot. Well, they say, we got to be able to defend ourselves. China is a superpower. If the U.S. ain't going to defend us from China, we got to be able to defend ourselves from China. All right, and if that makes us have to go make deals with North Korea, if that makes us have to go build our military up to a level, explain that, brother. What IP man? But if that makes us want to go, that makes us got to go to that level, we're going to have to go to that level. The same thing, I guarantee you. I always tell people, the South Korea is the only example of U.S. imperialism working in the entire world. All right, nowhere else in the world has the U.S. went to war to make a country so-called democratic, and it works, except for South Korea. But I even think South Korea is going to get North Korea on the phone sometime soon. Oh, my bad. I have to go watch it. I ain't seen the movie. But this is the only time in history you'll see these type of things happening, right? The world order's been completely upset. The Serbian president said it. And he's a Russian ally, but he just had to be truthful. Putin's decision completely changes the world order. Putin's decision says, if a country does not like another country that's neighboring them politics, they will attack that country. That's going back to the previous world order. They had this world order for the last couple years that pretty much said, you know, everybody keep their borders, don't attack, don't have border skirmishes, we'll figure it all out in the UN. Vladimir Putin showed the UN has no power. The UN condemned Russia a million times for this war in Ukraine, and nothing happened. Vladimir Putin's decision shows that the UN is weak. The UN cannot, they can go in and they can fight in Yugoslavia. They can go in and they can fight in Cameroon. They can go in and they can fight in South Sudan. They cannot fight Russia. They cannot fight China. They cannot fight the US. They cannot even fight Brazil. They can't fight India. They can't fight Pakistan. All right, these large to semi-large countries cannot be controlled by the UN. Every country in the world is not going to come to the defense of a small. They're not going to they're not going to risk their economic situation, which is already not great. Right? So they're not going to risk making the economic situation worse by coming to the defense of these small countries unless that small country has strategic interest to them. But they're not just going to defend the country just because. All right? They're not going to send their troops to do this. That's just the truth. And that's what Vladimir Putin's decision showed. It showed that this world order was complete crap. Made up. Lolly world. Didn't exist. It's the same situation that money has today, right? Money only has power because we say it has power. It's a piece of paper. But it has power because we say it has power. And that's the same situation with the world order. That's what the world showed. That's why Serbia is saying, hey, listen, now it's kind of all up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen. All right, we don't know who's going to start fighting who. And what does this cause right now? Right now, you can see the lines being drawn in the sand. You already have allies, all right? Brazil is an ally of Russia and China. Also, India is in that coalition. Serbia is in that coalition. That's five decently powerful nations. You add North Korea to that because they're going to always kind of side with the side of China because that's their big brother. They ain't got no choice. You add North Korea to that, all right? You add a possible Poland to that just because Poland doesn't like that the EU is pushing them towards this liberalized world order. And you begin to see the sides taking shape. Of course, you know France and Great Britain and the U.S. We understand their side. But if you start to look at the entirety of the situation, that other side is getting more powerful. Right? Of course, the U.S. is more powerful than all of them. Even in their decline, the U.S. is more powerful than all of them one-on-one. Even if you put the U.S., Great Britain, and France together, they may can beat China and Russia. But they cannot beat China, Russia, India, Brazil, Iran. They cannot beat all these nations. So if Iran says, hey, we're going to attack Afghanistan, or not even attack, we're going to merge with Afghanistan. The U.S. got to try to deal with that situation. China says, we're going to attack Taiwan and some other Indo-Pacific nations. They got to try to fight that battle. Vladimir Putin continues to wage war in Ukraine and Serbia and Belarus joining on that war. The U.S., France, and Spain got to try to deal with that situation. They cannot deal with all these situations at once. They do not have the military power or the economic might anymore. So it upends the world order. There is no one who can just tell a country unilaterally, do this, do that, and you're going to have to do this. No, it's not possible. Because this was the fall of Rome. Understand, the two things that are happening right now in the world was the fall of Rome. If you study history, you know this is the end. What were the two things that led to the fall of Rome? Right? Their advancement towards these liberal policies. All right? Unisex bathrooms. All right, men doing the same thing women do, women doing the same thing men do, and the normalization of homosexuality. One reason for the fall of Rome. Second reason for the fall of Rome, they expanded too wide and they could not control the territory properly. The U.S. has tried to expand their territory to the entirety of the earth, and they can no longer defend that. They don't have the military might or the economic might or just the willpower within their nation to defend that. Understand this, if the U.S. went to war now, they got about 200,000, 300,000 troops. They got about 200,000, 300,000. Ask yourself this, how many people do you know if they get drafted would go to war instead of going to jail? If I had to do 2 years fighting in Ukraine or fighting in Taiwan or fighting in Afghanistan for the U.S. or 2 years in prison, it's not a question. Lock me up. And that's the sentiment of most Americans. Listen, during World War II, right, at least you could tell Americans, even some black people fell for it, right? You could say, we're fighting for these American values, freedom and peace and prosperity. You look around, it ain't freedom, peace, and prosperity of people that live here now. Not even nobody. Take us out of the equation. Of course, there's never been that for us here, but it's not that for anybody now. That's why the world order has shifted. China, they got millions of troops that saw the Communist Party in China take their parents from rice farmers and peasants to millionaires. No lie. In 40 years, these people saw Their parents go from rice farmers, poor as they could be, to making $100,000, $150,000 a year, some of them up to $1 million, billions of dollars a year. Russia, right? Look at where Russia was during the fall of the Soviet Union. Look at the state that Russia was in during the fall of the Soviet Union. Russia was downtrodden. They were in a bad place economically and militarily. The singular man who drugged them out of that is still in power now. Vladimir Putin drugged them out. They stayed in that state for 30 or 40 years of just pure weakness. Vladimir Putin brought them back to prominence on the world stage. These people have a certain level of respect for that man. How many people in the U.S. you know that are actually willing to go to war that respect Joe Biden? It's a lot of them that get on the news and talk. See how many of them going to war. See how many of them going to fight successfully. Very little. If you don't respect your leader, you no longer have a nation. And that's the problem that the U.S. face versus the rest of the world power. And we all know what the Bible says, right? When the whore is no longer useful, right? When the daughter of Babylon is no longer useful, the rest of the world turns on it. And that's what's going to happen. Once France, once Great Britain, once Spain, once Italy, once Greece. See, all right, hey, man, listen. The U.S. was good for a time. Once these Rothschilds and Rockefellers and DuPonts and Bundys, once they see that the U.S. is no longer Sparta, they can no longer just go out and win us a war, they are of no use to us. They're going to turn on us with fire and fury that we have never seen before. They're going to turn the U.S. into a desolate wasteland because it's no longer useful and it's a problem. They can deal with the U.S. as long as it's useful. The U.S. is a problem to the world order, if you didn't know that. The U.S. is an issue. Let me tell you why. In the U.S., there are more guns than people. So if you send anybody in here to try to conquer this place, they're going to run into a problem because it's more guns than people. They may run through New York. They may run through California. But once they get New Mexico, Texas, North Dakota, South Dakota, Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, you're going to run into people who are not worried about defending the U.S. They're going to defend their land, though. They're going to defend their people. And that's an issue for the world order. They'll deal with it as long as the U.S. has a purpose. As long as the U.S. can go in and do their bidding and win whatever war they need won, end whatever war they need ending. You know who ended World War One? The U.S. They lied to get the U.S. involved in World War One. They made a fake telegram that Germany was telling Mexico, if you attack the U.S. force, once we win the war and we take some of the U.S., we'll give you like 5 states. That's a lie they told to get the U.S. involved in World War One. Adolf Hitler was so mad at Japan that he threatened to end their relationship with them altogether because they bombed Pearl Harbor in the U.S. and got the U.S. involved in that war. Without the U.S. getting involved in World War One or World War II, Germany controls the entirety of Europe, one war or the other. Don't matter which one, whichever one you want to say. Regardless, Germany right now, Europe will be Germany. One country. Germany. But when the U.S. no longer has that power, what use does the world have for you? What else does the U.S. do? What else do we do? Nothing. We don't produce nothing. We produce very limited food. We do got some gas. We got some oil. But so does all the Middle Eastern countries. They can just come in and get that. That ain't nothing they really need us for. We don't produce too much of anything else. We don't produce cars. Everybody produce cars. Technology. Everybody produce technology. Now, the country that's producing the most technology in the world now is China, not the U.S. The country with the most advancements right now is China, not the U.S. Is it better to flee? And so you have to flee to the right place, right? You have to really look for that discernment. Right? You can't just get up and run to a random country because that country may not be any better. That country may end up being a desolate wasteland. You got to understand the politics of where you're moving to and just following the Most High. So the Most High puts you in your right position. That's what a lot of us got to realize, right? The Most High is going to put us in the correct position as long as you listen to the Most High, as long as you listen to what he got to say. As long as you slowing down and you listening and you ain't just saying, man, I'm gonna go do this. I'm gonna go do that. I'm gonna figure this out. right? You have to be able to listen to the Most High God and say, hey, listen, where you say go, I'm going to go. Because the U.S. will become a desolate wasteland. It's written, and you can see how it happens. Let's say World War III starts, the U.S. gets involved in the war, and they skunk it up. What do you think the rest of the world is going to do? They're going to turn on the U.S. Imagine if somebody else like Trump is president, and the U.S. loses a war at the same time. Not saying I dislike Trump, whatever, right? I look at politics from the level of a sovereign, not from the level of a peasant. I look at politics from a level of how is this helping to hurt me, not how it makes me feel. So regardless of her, I'm just saying somebody that the world doesn't like a Trump, and we lose a war at the same time. What do you think is going to happen to the U.S.? They're going to have no friends because we've bastardized the East, and the West will no longer be our friend because we're of no use to them, and they wouldn't like our current leader. On top of that, the Bunnies and the DuPonts, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, they don't like the U.S., the Disneys, they don't like the U.S. because it's too many guns for them to be able to control it properly. So when all that comes together, it ends in a destruction of the U.S. No questions asked. No friends left. Babylon, the great, the daughter, it burns. Now, of course, we know Babylon is still going to exist because that power has to be transferred back to the East. Right? Right now, you got Athens, Greece. You got Rome, Italy. You got different places vying for that control. Right? That control cannot lie in Paris, France. It cannot lie in London, England. They tried. Doesn't work. That power got to go back to Rome or Greece. Watch those two countries. You can see those two countries dueling it out for who can be the most evil. That's why Rome keep resetting every year. Look at Rome. Look at Italy's politics. Italy's politics reset every year because they keep losing the elections. They cannot get the people on their side. Greece, on the other hand, may be in the upper hand because, because Greece has been able to get these policies passed. Greece lowered the age of consent to, I think, let's see. Let me get you the actual age. I believe it was 12. I think Greece lowered the age of consent to 12. Here we go. Let's see here. They just lowered it. 13. So the age of consent now is 13. Where does Babylon go to next? You think, I don't know, man. It's going to be Rome or it's going to be Athens. All right, it's going to be Rome, that Vatican City area, or it's going to be Athens. That's going to be the next head of the snake. That's going to be the next head of the snake. Now, that's that Babylonian snake. What you got to understand is, it's the same as any other power structure. It's the same as any Babylonian power structure in the world. You're still going to have your Chinas and your Russias with the power, right? Because you're going to have Russia that's Mog, and you're going to have your Gog and Magog situation, right? So Russia and China still going to wield a lot of power, but we're talking about that Western base of power, right? So when I see China and when I see Russia, I see Nebuchadnezzar, I see Darius the Mede in Iran, right? When I look for Nero, when I look for Alexander the Great, that's when I look to Babylon. That's when I look to the westernized nations. That's when I look to the ones. See, China, there's certain things they say make sense. I can respect it. Even though I don't respect them because, right, they're anti-Bible and you know, different things they do. But I can respect when China says we don't want any sissy men in our movies. I can respect when Russia bans the same thing when they say you cannot show this type of behavior to our citizens. I don't respect. The U.S. is reprobate. The Western nations are reprobate. They turn everything upside down. That's the true Satan, right? That's what I always tell people. Their end goal is not what you think, right? I told my mama this a long time ago when she was talking about gay marriage. How old was I when Obama was elected the first time? I'm in like fifth grade. I told my mama, hey, this is a slippery slope, bro. This isn't going to work. You legalize gay marriage, everything else is going downhill with it. Everything else is going downhill with it. So the end goal was never even just transgender, right? Their end goal is to say, I want a man that used to be a woman to marry a woman that you, or a man who thinks he's a woman to marry a woman who thinks she's a man. I want it completely upside down. That's the West goal. I want it completely upside down, turned around and flip-flop. I want it completely changed. Everything God says, turn it completely upside down. He says worship on the seventh day. I want you to worship on the first day. He says man goes with woman. I say man go with man. I want to turn it completely upside down. He says don't eat pork and shellfish. I say make lobster a delicacy. He want it completely turned upside down. He says be fruitful and multiply. I say it's too many people on the earth. He say a man shall not work, he shall not eat. I say I'm going to just give you some money and you're going to do what I say. You ain't got to work. They want it. The Western world wants it turned completely upside down. That is the power of Satan. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against wickedness and principalities in high places. That's what we wrestle against. All right? So as far as where Babylon goes, that's going to be Rome or Athens. Mark my words. That's going to be Rome or Athens. That's where that power is going to return to. All right? France is going to try to... And I'm going to tell you this too. I think France is going to try to wield their power again. They tried to wield it under Napoleon. Right? They can't hold their power. The country's just not straight. It ain't built for that. Cities have to be built a certain way. That's why they had to bring the so-called Masons and the Moors in to build D.C. You have to build a city a certain way to even hold that power, bro. It's some real cabal shit going on. Cabal stuff. Excuse my language. It's some real cabal stuff going on. Here's the thing, right? Here's the beautiful thing about this situation. Guess who's left out of this whole equation? Us. All right. So why the rest of the world? And I'm gonna pull that article up too. I'm gonna pull it up right now while I'm talking. But while the rest of the world is fighting everything out, while the rest of the world is nuking each other and they're going to war with each other and they're fighting for Taiwan, they're fighting for Ukraine, and Serbia's fighting for Costco, and the UK is fighting for Gibraltar Bar, and everybody's fighting, everybody fighting about the Caribbean, everybody fighting, right? We slip off, and guess what? No one, if we can find a place, that's why I like that southern part of the earth. That's why if you hear me talk, you see this flag behind me, Antarctica, the Falkland Islands, Patagonia down there in Argentina. If you can get down there to the place of the world where nobody's going to look, you can build yourself into the most powerful nation on the face of the earth while everybody else destroys each other. I always say it, the beauty of this book is that I can see what's coming. I can see what's next so I can pre the movement. I can pre the movement. EU carbon usage. I can pre the movement. So what that allows me to do is know what's going on. All right? That allows me to know what's going on so I can prepare for it. I can go away. I always say, man, I think the world will nuke each other to death. All right? Israelites and the strangers that's going to dwell among them come back up and they say, how in the world did you come out of this faster, bigger, stronger, and more powerful than we've ever seen you? How does this happen? Well, first of all, we got the biggest guy, Christ, right there behind us. That gave us the power to do what we did. While y'all were fighting each other, we were getting back in contact with our God. We were in the wilderness getting back in contact with our God. Now we're back in contact with him. We here to rule the earth. That's what we here for. Because we know the scripture and we can pre the movement. If you know the scriptures, you can get away and you can build yourself up. You have plenty of time to build yourself up because the rest of the world is going to fight it out for 20 or 30 years. Then they're going to nuke each other. That's going to give you another 10, 20 years. They might even fight each other for 15 years. End of that 15 years, they nuke each other. That's another 20 years. You're sitting at 35 years right there that you got to build yourself. And I always tell people this. China made themselves the most powerful nation on the face of the earth in about 50, 60 years. We should be able to do it in half because we're the children of God. We should be able to do it in half because we the children of God. We should. So that's how I see that. Slip off, prepare, get away. This is Antarctica. Antarctica is the only place on the face of the earth that is untamable by humans. Antarctica was discovered after so-called Neptune. Russ, what you believe about the planets, that's fine. Before they said they found Neptune, they still hadn't found Antarctica. It's the only place on the face of the earth that is untamable by man. Reason being, I think it's the same reason we ain't go back to the moon. I honestly believe they went down there and something told them, hey, bro, don't come back. And the thing about it is we know who they worship, right? The same way when the angels came to Lot, he He said, the angels came, let's even use a better example. When the angels came to Abraham, he asked them, who do you serve? Like, who are you here for? Who do you serve? He said, we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Most High Power, your God. That's who we serve. If they would have saw demons, they serve the same power. They would have been good with each other. They saw something else that didn't serve the same power, and they say, don't come back here. Right, I think Antarctica houses Bohemoth and Leviathan. And when the Bible says, let me open this up to you. Let me get the scripture. See if I can find it. It's in Revelation. I just want to read it right. I could paraphrase it to you. Here we go. Got it right here. Revelation 12 and 16. But the earth helped the woman by opening up his mouth and swallowing up the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. I think that's what Antarctica is going to do. All right. I think Antarctica is going to be the place that opens up and swallows up the lies that these people have stated on the world. These people have stated on the world stage because it's things down there that are going to prove the things that they say are untrue. It's things down there that have been frozen in history for years, for thousands of years. And it's also things down there that, how should I say it? It's things down there that are going to help us even a playing field. It's things down there that destroys things. It's things down there that can eat ships. It's things down there that can intercept missiles in the sky. It's things down there that can do supernatural things. It's things down there that the Most High God put down there for a reason, and he froze it for a time for a reason. It's things in that place in the earth that can protect you while you need to be protected because they're of the Most High God. You understand? That's why I like that place. That place is untamable by man. It's on earth, but it's as untamable. You know, they're more worried about terraforming Mars than they are worried about Antarctica because they know it's certain things they just can't do down there. It's not tamable by man. It's tamable by the Israelites. That's my honest belief. They know they can't tame it, so they move on to somewhere else. That's why I like that place. But if you look at the world order, man, the world order has completely changed, man, and we got to start preparing ourselves for that. We got to start preparing ourselves, right? You got to gather yourselves together. O nation undesired, O people undesired, the righteous of the earth got to get themselves together and be led by the Israelites. That's the only solution to the problem. That's the only way you're going to make it out of this alive. That's the only way you're going to make it out of this without being subject to atrocities. That's the only way you're going to make it, right? It's great. I always tell people, man, it's great to be able to quote every scripture in the Bible, but it's better to be able to put every scripture in the Bible into practice. It's better to be able to read that book and to get the understanding of the prophecy so that you know what's coming, so you can prepare yourself for that. That got to be your goal. Your goal should not be to just prove that you got one. You know, this ain't a Jeopardy. This ain't Jeopardy. It ain't just about proving that you got more knowledge. It's about proving that you can practice more of that knowledge. That's why Christ had to say, what about the Pharisees? Do as they say, not as they do. They knew the law. As far as word for word, they could quote you a scripture. They didn't understand the essence of that law. And they didn't even put what they understood into practice. All right? They didn't even put what they understood into practice. As far as the update on the EU situation, you know, they're going to try to wipe it from. And I'm going to have to go back and find the original video. I got it somewhere on one of my devices. I'll go back and find the original video. But you can read a bunch of stories. EU watchdog calls on EU not to limit carbon markets. So countries already limit the amount of carbon that companies can put into the atmosphere. They're going to start to do the same thing with humans. That's the true mark of the beast, because then they got to track everything, right? They can say this computer you bought put out some carbon, you know, the beef that you ate yesterday put out some carbon, even the plants you ate put out some carbon. So they got to be able to literally track everything that goes in and out of your body, everything that you touch, everything that you do, everywhere that you go. They got to track you completely. See if there's anything else I want to go over here. Not really. Anybody got any questions? We'll do a quick Q&A, man. Maybe like 10, 15 minutes. If anybody got a question for me, I can answer it. I'll probably come back tomorrow and do like a companion Q&A anyway. But if you got any today, I'm going to post this on Spotify too. So it'll be on my story. I mean, it'll be on my page and on Spotify. But if anybody got any questions, I'll take questions now. I'll give it like 4 or 5 minutes. But and also just pay attention to these referendums today too. So the referendum results should be back. Just pay attention. Right, because in the areas that do approve, right, we're gonna have to see what the world order decides to do about that, right? Do they even believe that the nations can vote to be, you know, to be into another country, or do they just say you gotta get out of here? They did in Yugoslavia. They let those countries break up and they voted and did what they had to do. Another thing right there. Pay attention to Google Yugoslavia, Balkanization of Yugoslavia, right? Balkanization in general. That's what's coming to the U.S. It won't be one country. It'll be 4, 5, 6, 7. We got 3 minutes, and I'm going to get out of here unless anybody got any questions for me. Make sure ain't nothing else. Nope. Oh, shoot. Forgot a big point. Germany. Do Russia has started? Rephrase that question. I don't understand it. I'm going to say this while you're rephrasing that. Germany is now starting to speak against Russia. All right, they're starting to say that the world order has to do something. That the world order has to do something about Russia. Germany has always been at the head of these world wars, but they've always lost. So look for Germany to join in on the side of the West. All right, and then watch for the decline. Germany is starting to be a leading speaker. Their new they just got rid of their old prime minister. Their new prime minister is speaking very heavily against Russia. All right, so pay attention to what he says against Russia. All right, and pay attention to when Germany gets involved in this thing heavily, because Germany is always on the wrong side. So pay attention to the Germany side. That's the side that's going to look like it's winning until the tail end and something's going to happen. That side is going to lose. All right, let's go right here. The things that are frozen. Playing the field. Yeah, exactly. Right here? Exactly. So I don't exactly. It's not just an iceberg. Something happened because the Titanic was called what? Unsinkable. God had to prove a point. You're not unsinkable. I can do as I please. Exactly. Exactly. Those things know where to hide. They know when to come out or when not to come out because they submit to the Most High God. They're the same thing as the stars. The reason that we see the stars every night. The reason the sun shines every day. The reason the moon comes every day. Because these things obey the Most High. They don't have a mind to disobey. They do what the Most High God says. When the Most High God says don't shine, it don't shine. But it's rare. Unless he get that order, they're going to do what they're supposed to do every day. Exactly. Do you think Russia has started World War III? Yes. I think Russia has upended the world power, which is going to start World War III. I think Russia has made the world understand that they're not going to be defended by the EU. They're not going to be defended by the UN. They're not going to be defended by the US. They're not going to be defended by Spain, UK, France, whoever they thought they could defend them for their protection. They're not going to protect them. So it's going to make countries start to protect themselves, and countries are going to start to click up again, and you're going to get these. Because right now they had this thing called a non-aligned movement that was supposed to prevent World War III because everybody is supposed to pick sides. But now that they see that the UN has no power, you got to pick sides. And once you got to pick sides, everybody picks sides and something happened, you got to go with your side because you want your side to go with you. I'm telling you, Serbia could get into a... Let me look at a world map real quick. Hold on, pull up on my phone. I'm gonna give you an example of what could happen right now and start World War III, right? Forget the big countries getting into it, right? Forget China attacking Taiwan or something like that. I'm finna give you an example of what could happen right now, and it could cause World War III tomorrow. And it wouldn't actually start. It will start tomorrow. Of course, it's gonna take a while to progress. But I'm just gonna give you an example of what could happen tomorrow. All right. Serbia could attack a country, a so-called country called Kosovo. That's actually a breakout region of Serbia. Kosovo is strongly aligned with the West. Serbia is strongly aligned with the East. If they go into that country, it could devolve into World War III. That's how serious the situation has got. Pakistan and India could start World War III. All right? Russia started World War III by upending the world order. That's what happened. They upended the world order. And that's going to cause the decline. All right, of the world. That's going to cause World War III because now countries understand that you're not going to be defended. You're not going to be defended by any world power or the UN. You're going to have to figure out a way to have these countries defend you, and that's only by aligning yourself with their thoughts, their actions. That's why I always had the other side of the mark of the beast. Right hand by your actions, forehead by your ideologies. You have to listen or you're not going to be involved. That's another version of that Mark of the Beast. I do believe that one as well. But yes, answer is yes. Short answer is yes. Not necessarily. I don't know if the war in Ukraine will actually start World War III. I don't know. But I do know that Russia's actions will start World War III because it completely upended the so-called world order. It completely threw it on its head. But yeah, if you pay attention to that title in Antarctica, it's some sinister stuff down there, but it's going to be sinister for our good. It's going to be things that are going to cause us to really be able to dominate the world power. To really be able to dominate them because it's going to even the playing field. First of all, the nukes already even the playing field, right? Countries are going to be reduced to almost nothing. Electronics ain't going to work. You know, they ain't going to have their planes no more. They ain't going to have their work. They ain't going to have their aircraft carriers. They ain't going to have their nuclear submarines. All this stuff is going to be gone. It's going to be big on big, man on man. On top of that, we're going to have not only glorified bodies, but we're going to have chariots on our side. We're going to have the things that are hidden on our side. That's the beauty of being a child of the Most High God. That's the beauty of following this book. That's the beauty of following the law. And the beauty of being an Israelite is that on top of all that, you get to be in rulership. I say Goshen. So, when I talk about Goshen, that's why I call this Goshen Guard. We also operate in Tennessee, Georgia. I think the South. All right? If you read what happened in Egypt, all the plagues in Egypt, they didn't hit Goshen. They didn't hit the area where most of the Israelites were located. So, I say the South. I say, you know, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, North Carolina, some of Florida. The South. All right, the South. But I also say keep moving. All right, I don't say stay there. So if you look around my room, I got a plan. So over here, I got Mississippi, which is where I'm located at now. All right, it's not in the right order, but I got Belize, Antarctica. It's also, you know, some countries in South America that I plan to stop over through there and also stop over in the Falkland Islands. But you got to have a plan to keep moving. Got to have a plan to keep moving. Because, you know, you got to think about it. You got to look crazy. So if you study the Bible, you know, Noah, right? Noah looked crazy. He was building the ark, but it had never rained. You're going to have to look crazy. I'm so serious. Right? It's not going to look logical to most people what you're doing. They're going to say, bro, why did you move down here to this area? It's cold and it's wet. It's wet and dry at the same time. You can barely grow food. Why would you move here? Are you crazy? Nothing's going to happen that bad. You're crazy, bro. You down here. You stockpiling water. You ordering sheep. You learn how to fish salmon out of the ocean. Like, why are you doing this? What are you doing? You crazy. Stay in the U.S. It's plentiful here. We got everything we need, bro. We're good. You're going to have to look crazy. But that looking crazy is going to put you in a better position than anybody else. But it's going to look crazy. All right? No one really wants to fight. I always tell people, bro, as strong as some Israelites are, right, it's very few of them that are really ready for what the world is going to be. I mean, Walmart not open. And it's not like COVID where Walmart was closed for some days or the restaurants insides are closed, or, you know, this stuff is closed forever. I mean, it's desolate. It's waste. It's nothing in there. The stores are empty. The shelves have already been ransacked. The warehouses are empty. Everything's empty. Everything's gone. You hunting for survival. You looking for fast running streams so you can drink the water, because you've even ran out of the bags that you ordered. Even if you prepare right, like I got bags that turn like, you see, it can't be salt water, but it'll turn dirty. Like fresh water in the drink of the water. But even after you run out of them. All right, now I'm looking for fast flowing streams that don't have wormwood in them because the nukes might have hit, right? These are things you got to really prepare yourself for. But you want to be gone before that happens. But in order to be gone before that happens, you're going to have to look crazy. You're going to have to do things that the world sees as crazy. The world is going to see you as insane. But you got to be okay with being seen as insane. You got to be okay with the world thinking this guy is nuts. You got to be okay with that. You got to be okay with the world thinking, why would you do that to your kids? Why would you do that to your family? You got to be okay with that. Not even to say, right, if I have a family, bro, I may leave my family for a while to go prepare that place and then bring them when it's a little more comfortable. But regardless, you got to look crazy. You got to look nuts. You got to. That's how Noah did it. That's how we're going to have to do it. You have to look nuts. All right. Anybody got anything else? But just research that thing, man. Patagonia, Falkland Islands, Kerguelen Islands. I really forget how to pronounce that one. It's one that's owned by France down there, and just Antarctica in general. You know, research that. Anybody got any more questions? We'll wait another. We'll wait till 10:44. That's perfect. Or it might be 11:44 your time. 1:44. Perfect. Just in case. And also, I say this, right? Don't hide plans, but also don't cast your pearls to swine. Let me put that out there. We're gonna wait another 2 minutes, man. If anybody got anything, like I said, man, I'll come back tomorrow and do just a pure Q&A. I did before. I always try to do like a companion, right? I drop a podcast, do a Q&A. But I don't get on here much. I feel like Enoch sometimes. When I get the urge, I do it. If I ain't got the urge, then I don't really get on social media that much. I'll be on tomorrow probably like 9 a.m. my time. It's like 10 a.m. Eastern time, 9 a.m. Central time, like 9, 10 a.m. By the time I get up, I probably get up. Get up and eat me some cereal or something. Get on. Whew. Tell you what, man. I do appreciate everybody to get on here, bro. I appreciate everybody to get on to listen, man. Everybody to get on to do, you know, just listen to what I got to say, bro. I praise it to the Most High Power. I always say, man, the Bible tells you your sheep, they hear your voice. I always tell this story, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get out of here. If you got any questions, you can comment them while I'm saying this. I always tell people when I get on here, man, you know, I'm not looking for 1 million views. If I get them, that's great. I'm not looking for 1 million views. I ain't even looking for 1,000 views. I'm looking for one person to get on here and to really take heed to everything I said. And I won that day. That got to be the goal. I get on here and I look for one person to hear what I said and to understand and to get understanding. And that's a great day. That's a great day. I mean, shout out to y'all, man. Shalom. The Najat Nation Episode. I appreciate y'all, man. You can DM me if you got any more questions. I'll answer them. Appreciate you.